Hello, everybody, and welcome to Drollers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Survive, Alan. Happy to be here. Out in the studio. Got my Audi on. We have, like, I know we've had the longest summer ever, but it's a couple of chilly days, and it was like, just kind of stumbled across this in the cupboard the other day. I was like, that's right. Own an Audi. Fuck yeah. It's Audi weather.
It's Audi weather. No, I like that. That's good. When are you going to build the podcast studio? You got to get built-in sound in soundproof walls and things like that.
Yeah. It's on the list. It's on the list.
We might have to sell 6 or 7 more 100 t-shirts.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm sitting nice and comfortable just on my couch. This is part of the no kid life. Is just, you just get some of these freedoms, you know?
Don't get me started on no kid life. I just went through the most epic tantrum I've ever witnessed tonight. It was proper. It went for like a good like 90 minutes.
Big.
And the only way, like, this is the problem with my son. Like, the kid is obsessed with outdoors, and like, so the only way to like just put an end to it was to take him out in the shed and play cricket.
Beat
him.
Oh yeah. No, play cricket. There you go. And it's calmed him right down?
He's asleep now. No, he was good. He's good. But it's your day. It was tough. I was in the pits there for a second.
Fair enough. Yeah, well, I had a reasonably large Saturday night. Had the cornhole comp on, and unfortunately was bested once again. But anyway, we won't dwell on that. But it turned into a long, fun night, and slept in a decent bit, and then had to go drop off something off to my buddy's house that I'd borrowed, and they were there as well, and they got a couple young kids, and so they were up pretty early, and they were asking me what my plans were for the day. I was like, oh, as soon as I get back home, I'm going to take a nap, and they're just like, yeah, yeah, I remember those days. Like, yeah, it's going to be great. So, after I woke up from my nap, though, what I did was I turned on YouTube and I chucked on the Vic Open coverage and just binged, basically. Checked out the feature card action, which was a lot of fun. That was really cool to see. And then I might have seen your face in round two. Was I mistaken?
Yeah, look out. Who knew? As discussed a few weeks ago, did Defs make lead card? Because obviously I am an elite disc golfer.
Elite.
And away we went. Yeah. I'd like to think I didn't embarrass myself.
Nah, it was nice. Did really well besides throwing it out of bounds straight away on hole one. But other than that, you recovered quite well. And somehow on our socials, or maybe through your one, normally when you play someone's story, that goes away. It's not like, hey, check my story again. That shot of yours on hole 5 will not go away. That's just there. Like, if I go on my Instagram, it's like, check out Chris's new story. So I don't know what you've done, but it was a ripper shot. So good on you.
It's funny you say that. It's funny. I've definitely broken Instagram somehow.
Yeah, it's just
because
there.
Because when people, I've getting all these replies to it, but like when people reply to it, I can't, like, it says image not available and I can't go to my story that way. But then when I go to like my homepage, it's like I haven't watched my own story.
Yeah.
I've watched it a million times.
I've watched it a million times. I keep clicking on your thing thinking there's something new and it's like, oh, just Chris's strike again.
So I've broken Instagram. I don't know how I did it, but I did it.
At least you did it on that and not something stupid that we came up with.
That's true.
So no, that was really cool. I forgot how close it got at some stage until Deiros just went whack and really separated. Mm. But it was sketchy for a bit. So well done to Deiros for holding off a tough paddy. Would have been his 7th Vic Open win or some shit like that.
Yeah, correct. But, well done, Deiros.
Yeah, good fun. I haven't checked yet the stuff that came on Parked, I think, today, which is the World Team stuff. So, very, very excited to see that. So, Parked, busy.
Super busy. Yeah, I think they're, I don't think they've released everything. I think it's like they're going to start trickling out the World Teams event. So I think it's like round one, game one sort of situation. And then I guess over the next few days, they'll be, yeah, releasing is my assumption.
Yeah. Nah, sign me up. I'll be watching all of it. It's going to be great. They're just punching bulk content out it. And we love it. So well done, Park. Keep it up.
They're flying, yeah.
Melbourne Celebrates, I'm not sure if you checked, but is busy. It's busy, busy, busy.
I've got day, I reckon it's day two. I've got day two open at the moment. And yeah, it's getting pretty full.
Yeah, well, over 100 people now. So a couple weeks out from the big dance. And I think Kaelin said that he went and checked the course out. And yeah, it's, the park's looking really good. And they're going to have a really sick course. So get yourself signed up. There's, yeah, like 50 odd people each day. I think we're just a little bit over the amount of people that were there last year. So let's hopefully we can get a big boy one. It'd be crazy if we could punch out like 120 people over the couple of days. That'd be sick.
That'd be so sick. Why aren't I signed up?
I don't know. Did you sign up?
Yeah. No, I haven't signed up. No, I don't, like, I don't, but I'm wondering if I have a reason. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. There's only 5 people in the NPO, which is wild, but 3 in the FBO, including S. Lee, which I have not seen her play disc golf this year, I don't think.
How crazy. And Anita Webber.
Making her debut, I believe, into FBO. So really cool. Great to see that division blowing up. And they just want to try to knock Huss off the pedestal, but I don't know if they're going to be able to do that.
I don't know if they're going to be able to do that, no.
No events for Sarah Lee in 2025, so this will be her debut. It's well past January, right? We're strong into the year.
And she lives in Melbourne now?
Oh, I was not aware of that.
I'm pretty confident Miss Sarah Lee lives in Melbourne.
Well, that's awesome. Well, hopefully we'll see her at more events. We've got one every 2 weeks.
The funny thing is, I think she's lived in Melbourne for like 6 months at least.
There you go. Never mind then.
So I just don't think disc golf's high on her list.
She needs to get off that ultimate. That's no good. That's ruining her disc golf career.
I think you're onto something there.
Yeah, she's probably one of the like best 20-something women in Australia, ultimate.
Yeah.
But she's like number 2 in Australia frisbee, so... What are you doing?
Given that, obviously, you know, Ultimate Australia didn't even sign up for the next big event.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Like, why would you even want to be affiliated with such an organization that can't get their fucking shit together?
What happened with that? We did, for anyone playing at home who might not have seen that, I can't remember. We saw something came across our desk somehow that... they forgot to put their bid in for like Australia's spot at the Worlds, right?
Something crazy like that. I'm just trying to trawl through some socials now to see if I can remember exactly what I discovered.
It was something like they were told it was meant to be like roughly June, and then I guess they never looked back into it, and it was like, no, it was like May 25th, and they're like, fuck, it's May 28th. But
The Australian Flying Disc Association wishes to inform you that we are in a difficult situation for the upcoming 2026 World Ultimate Club Championships, where we miss submitting our requests for divisional spots. This occurred due to a mistake in recognizing the closing date for bids. It was originally published around this. However, they changed that. We read it and then forgot that we read it and fucked up. The AFTA have been in contact with the WIFDIF, who have confirmed that Australia aren't getting any special privileges, you dickheads, and I've been added to the wait list. However, WIFDIF will not be able to make a firm bid offers until the payment deadline for teams are boring, boring, boring. We suck. You should get more into disc golf. Thank you.
Yeah, that's spot on. Read it verbatim.
That's
how it reads. Yeah, so that's crazy. I completely forgot about that. I'm glad you remembered. But yeah, what a big not light there for for Whiff Diff. Like, ADG just got them covered.
Yeah.
You don't often get to say that.
Comfortably.
Comfortably. What else we got? Rumble in the Crater. Another tourney out in Crater Lakes. So they wanted, I spoke to Ryan, they wanted to do, well, he wanted to do some sort of rumble. What would be more than a rumble, but less than an eruption? Something like that. Basically, a small, big, bigger, with a sort of culminating in the eruption. And I think someone else, I can't remember who it was now. God, I'm bad at this. But one of the other guys had said that they were thought about running a tournament there too. And then he's just like, cool, this can kind of work into that. So they're doing the rumble at the Crater or something like that. And it's going to be sick. I've signed up. It's going to be, I think, like all the holes. So all the normal advanced holes, the blue layout or whatever it is, plus the four extra for the eruption. So, yeah, not like merge. I think there's a couple that merge something for the eruption. I don't think they're doing that. But what's normal hole 1, 16, 17, 18 for the eruption, I think are all getting added in to make like a 22-hole course. So done. I'm in. Should be good.
Yeah, beautiful.
Can't remember the date for that, but you can find that on the ADG website and sign up through that.
There you go. Speaking of signing up, I'm just trawling the Melbourne Disc Golf website as we speak and signing up for day 2 of Melbourne Celebrates.
Big. I like that.
I will deal with the consequences later in life with whatever they might look like.
The leanest field ever. I think we've got a couple of the regulars are off in Europe. I think I heard that Aiden, Leo? And Deiros and Leo are all in Europe, and I think potentially all for different reasons. I know definitely Aiden and Leo are. I didn't even hear about Aiden until I saw it on the Tuesday night thing, and he's like, I'm going to be away for a while. So,
Leo and Ryan are there together.
Nah, listen to them on the tee off. They got different things. They're going to be two nights or something together.
Okay,
like Leo's going for like a school thing, like a film school thing or something, and I don't know what Deiros is doing.
Okay, yeah. No, yeah, because I was talking to one of them and they were like, we're going to play this course together or some shit. So I assume they were doing a trip together.
Mm. Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You obviously don't listen to the tee off, mate. Jeez. What's going on? How do you even have your finger on the pulse?
Maybe I listen, maybe I don't.
How do you even know what's going on in Australian disc golf? That's crazy.
I know.
I saw on our socials a pretty hectic looking map of Bald Hill. What's that about?
Wowee. Here we go.
Did we get some feedback from that?
I got some feedback. We got some feedback. People are hyped. There was absolutely no negative feedback. What? So people like Tim Bowen. You know what Tim Bowen loves? Love OB.
OB. He and loves so fake OB.
He messaged me saying, "I not more OB."
But what? Shit.
Nobody said. But did you get any feedback?
Not particularly, nah. So I think it must have all gone to your social. I know Penn was super excited about it. And gave me a couple little ideas on how to soften it, which was surprising by him, but also just some other concepts. But yeah, we floated that out there, and I think that some sort of variant of that might be our next Throwlers Non-Ventational, a very hectic, hazard-bound field with a few safe spots. So
69% of voters were like, this is a spotlight. And, like, that's a pretty special number in my mind. So, I'm reading that as 100%. 100% of voters thought, this is legit.
I like it. It must have been a few votes, too, to get a weird number.
Oh, that was, I don't know, 413 votes. we're, like, we're pretty popular. Subtract 400. So... But those, a couple of those that said not light, as soon as I pointed out, we're going to create Australia's first 1100 rated round, they wanted to change their vote. They're
it's
like,
you won't
possible. Let me change my vote. Yeah, we want to change my vote. I won't let me change my vote. But this fucking boss, I can't wait to see someone shoot 14 down and get 1100 rated at Bald Hill.
In the two rounds that we play, it's very possible that, not me, but let's say somebody, Stay Smith, could shoot an 1100 and an 800 rated round.
Correct.
The same day.
Correct.
It's very possible.
Correct.
So
possible.
Very interesting. We'll see how all that shakes out. I've got to get that past the club first. But, we'll go from there. But watch this space. Might be happening sometime in when the weather gets better.
Beautiful.
And BMX bike, was there anything with that, or we left that one behind, one and done?
Look, people would like to see it return. Would you like redemption?
Yeah, I don't. There's no way I'm any better.
We might just be one and done there then.
Yeah, fair enough. I'll tell you what though, I think I have goals now. So we spoke last pod or the pod before about goals, and I was like, I don't have any goals. I think I've got goals now.
Okay.
So it started from, I've been doing a little bit of the practice putting, and that's been nice. And then I kind of had a thought in my head that I'll allow myself to miss one C1X putt per round. And then I was like, we're not really factoring in C2. So now I'm like, however many I miss in C1, I need to make in C2. That's my goal for tournaments. And so the only way to achieve that is I need to keep working on my putting. But that's the concept. That's my pass mark, is that my C1X makes plus my C2 makes need to be my C1X attempts. So I think that's one goal. And
sick.
Yeah. And I had I need to throw better. That's from some taking my stats, and my C1 in regulation is abysmal. So throwing better is an absolute must. And I've actually Googled how to throw a frisbee, and there's a surprisingly large amount of information. And so I discovered what the actual power pocket is. I have not gone through throwing a frisbee since I've looked at this, but I've done a couple, like, what do we call shadow boxing, but for disc golf?
yeah, I love this. Dana must be loving you walking around the house, fucking pretend throwing frisbees. This is so good.
So I've done a couple of them and figured out I'm definitely not.
That's equivalent.
Yeah.
That's equivalent.
I know for sure I'm definitely nowhere near getting it, because it doesn't feel like anything like what I do. And I've also been told that I move my whole body before my arm goes, and I didn't really understand any of that until I sort of started looking at it. And same deal. I can sort of like, when I slow it down, I'm like, I get this. So not throwing a single frisbee, so don't get excited at all. But I need to figure out how to goalify this. And I think I've got it at the eruption, hole 18, my goal is to easily clear the water 3 out of 3 times.
Okay, that's there
the
goal. You go.
The only way to do that is to be much better at throwing, because I cannot do that now.
Correct.
So that's I've got a long-term goal, and I have tournament-based goals, and I'm pretty happy with that. I think that's a good way to go for it for now. What do you think?
100%. I think a couple of things. I think Penn's going to love this episode. Yeah. That's what I first think, because Penn is like obviously uber competitive and just like can't get his head around that there's like people playing this game who are not genuinely trying to get better at this game. I do apologize, Penn. So that's my first thought. My second thought is that's great. Like obviously, you know, physically, logically, you are capable of clearing that lake easily. I've seen you park the freaking tower hole like twice in a row, accidentally, essentially. Yeah. So I can't wait to see you do that deliberately. I welcome that. You know, maybe you'll be bloody Matt Hill in this and be throwing Mako 3s on 18 at Eruption. Who knows?
Well, watching the Vic Open coverage and watching Ryan Deere throw a buzz on hole 4, the downhill one with the green.
Traditional hole 1.
Yeah.
Traditional hole 1.
And just getting pin high every time. I'm like, well, like I need to be able to do that. I know there's a long gap between him and I, but that's just time and practice. But that's like that shouldn't be out of my realm of possibilities. There's no way he like throws much further, like faster or anything that than me. He's just got much better form. That was a bit. I was like watching that. I'm like Jesus, like that. I need that. Like I don't even care about throwing like a million meters. I need to be able to do that with a buzz for sure. And I need to step up to the Eruption and just be like, fuck, I know this is going over, not I hope.
So,
that's my goals. Got goals. So
awesome. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you.
Cheers. did you sign up for the Australasian Open?
Wowee. No, I did not. What a name of an event. The Australasian Open. Who would have thunk it, huh?
Uh-huh.
What and about we, you? Did you sign up?
Not yet. Not yet, but you never know.
Yeah.
We were sent this by Alex and said have a little bit of an investigation, and it looks like it's part of the Tour Down Under in New Zealand, and it's in Taupo, which last year I'm pretty sure they had an event there just called the Taupo Classic.
Classic.
So I'm imagining this is just a rebrand of that.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on the Australasian Open?
Well, I've been banging on for months on this podcast that obviously Australia needs to somehow find its way affiliated to the Tour Down Under. Essentially, this little minnow nation across the fucking ditch is trying to capitalize on our reputation. So they've suckered a few pros down to Tour Down Under, probably anticipating that they get to play Australia, but they haven't suckered all of the pros. So what's their next move? The Australasian Open. And you watch this space. A few other suckers are going to fly into fucking Taupo, New Zealand, and be like, where the fuck is my Sydney Harbour Bridge? And be really confused. So my thoughts is, well played, New Zealand. Like this is like, lemon meringue pie in the face for us, Pavlova, who created the Pavlova. They're absolutely just trying to capitalize on our reputation, and fair play to them. If we're not going to step up and actually run a half decent event to bring Aussies, bring the pros here, hey, just call it the Australian Open. Full like clear, call it the Sydney Harbour Open. Have at it.
I absolutely love every word you just said. I honestly was not sure where your mind was at, but I mean, fair play to them in my regards. Like New Zealand doesn't have any cool gimmicky names. That's not a big thing on people's radar. So they're just gonna steal our shit, and they're part of Australasia. They're entitled. They're technically under people, so I guess they're down under. Like if they're like, if we can capitalize it with names people have heard, we're gonna. And they put in all the work to do all the shit, and Australia's just sitting here going, that's our name, like who cares? Like we ain't gonna do anything about it. Give us 20 more years and we wouldn't have done anything about it, I don't think so. I'm very excited you said that. All fair play to them. They want to call the Sydney Harbour Open. Go for it. That's sick.
Have at it. That's apparently it. We don't want a piece of this pie, so you guys can just have at it. I even love their logo and their everything about it. Like, it's just very clearly like AO. Like, you know, not to confuse anyone, but this is just the Australian Open.
Yeah.
Come play. Just happens to be in Taupo, New Zealand. But can't play the Australian Open. It's fine.
It's perfect.
It's so good. I'm pretty sure they've tried to like hide a koala in there as well. But it's like it's abstract. But again, have at it.
Yep. I like this. I think I found a nice little meme I might have to make after this. And what I think saw Marlon reached out to them on Facebook and was just like, is there any plans to have this in Australia at any stage? And the guy was politely like, never say never, but no.
No, yeah. Never say never, but like, don't start a stopwatch. Like, it ain't coming.
Yeah, I'm not saying we're not going to do it. I'm just saying we want it at this course forever.
Yeah. And it's great to see Australia have incredible events too. Like, the Ruffy Rumble. It's like, well, thanks, bro. Yeah, the Ruffy Rumble was a pretty good event. Thanks for shouting us out.
Oh no, that was interesting. But yeah, we're right on the same page with that one, so that's good. I look forward to watching the Australasian Open on YouTube from my couch.
Absolutely. But surely I'd like to think a bunch of Aussies will go. Yeah. That's part of the lure as well. They're like, you know, come defend your title. So it'll be interesting to see if a few Aussies go.
Yeah, nah, for sure. I'm sure they will. So,
yeah.
We've got a Vic Open update after the... Not a Vic Open. A Vic Tour update after the most recent Vic Tour event, which was the Hopkins Heiser. We've got 6,000 divisions. So, we're not going to go through them all line by line. But, we will punch through... A few of them, or maybe we'll just punch all of them. We'll just do it quick. In the all women's event, I can't see the last names properly. Is that Claire Bruton on top? No, sorry, never mind. That was just from the. No, I'm looking at the wrong spot. No, Georgia Carroll Kim Michelle.
Tied.
Big.
Yeah.
So that's really cool to see. And FJ 15. We've got Charlotte Davies as the only competitor, so she's killing it.
There you go.
And MJ15, we've got Marcus Davies just absolutely dominating Owen, who has played only one event.
Correct.
I think a lot of these are going to get consolidated, just FYI. But in FA4, we've got Megan Joy tight over Marta Lizvolsch. So that'd be an interesting one. FA3, we have Anna Kolodina, not even from Victoria.
Yep.
I've just X'd out of it. MA2, yes.
And then we have Taryn Salter in second. In FA2, we've got Kim Michelle currently holding it down over Bridget. In FA1, we've got Georgia Carroll holding it down there. Over Claire Bruton. And then finally for the women's divisions, we have Huss holding it down over Haley. In none of those divisions have there been any changes in the lead since our last update. They're all holding down, and I think that might hold true as we move forward as well.
Probably. I think the all women's one will end up being the big one for them. So I think we need to see... Huss make some moves here. How is her sitting with one event? We might have to look into that. I think she's only played the one event, right?
She played the Vic Open and got 100 points.
There you go. So need some catching up to do, but I think if she pops out to some events, then she will do plenty.
Yep. No, please do not overly analyze any of this. I have not made any mistakes.
In the MA50, big field, lots of people in that one, and right at the tippy top is Carrie Edwards quite comfortably at this stage, so people are going to have to do some work. A couple of the guys with only two events can do some damage for sure, so a nice big showing for Doug Adams or Mike Vanderlinden. And this could be on for, well, not young and old, but old.
could be on for old. You're right. You're right.
MA40, we've got Jay Ross right at the top with Taron Anderson just behind him. So very, very close one there. Ryan Nicholson not too far away either. He's come over for plenty of Melbourne events. So that's cool to see. But yeah, the battle looks like it is to be done between Jay and Taron. I wonder how that's going to go at Melbourne Celebrates coming up.
There you go. Yep, those two going toe-to-toe all year. Not a surprise. In MA4, Ash Brookers holds on to his lead. And Ross Davies is right there, though. And you've also got Stuart Ward over the 200-point mark as well. Both of those players up a couple of spots after the update, but Ash holding on to the lead.
Yeah, taking the win at Hopkins Heiser was big for him, and a solid showing at the Vic Open as well is keeping him way, way up the tippy top. MA3, we got Damian Moosey right at the top there, just above Adam Spears and Chu Tran. But Chu is only two games in and is only 10 points behind. So if he can show up to some tournaments, he is going to fly past everyone. But I wouldn't ride off Turbo Herbo either. He is right there as well. So, yeah, it would be good to see if these guys get out to a few more events.
Correct. In MA2, again, the podium has not changed, even though some points have been added into the system. But Tommy Jankar, Mitch Evers, and Dan Frawley rounds out your podium. Big movers. We had Matt Hunter up three spots into fourth position.
If Tommy Jankar doesn't take out this division, I'll be very, very surprised. MA1, Penn Lu at the top because he wins every event. It's hard to catch that up. I'm sitting there in second and Juan in third. We are all tapped out in a... Well, not tapped out, though, sorry. We all have four out of, I think, four possible events. So that's cool. Hopefully I can rein Penn in at some stage, but I don't think I've beaten him this year, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Good luck.
Good luck.
MP40, Ruben Berg. I mean, yeah, essentially nothing shifted here. These guys are pretty established. Chris Hart, Tim Ware rounds out the podium, but Ruben Berg has quite the tasty gap established.
And in the MPO, it is Diros at the top. Not surprising, big points on offer for the Vic Open, so nice win there. And also not surprising is Nath Parrish in second with a lot of events under his belt and a lot of good performances. Ryan Hart in equal second with one less event. So a big showing from Harty somewhere else could get him right in it. But yeah, at the moment, Diros with the lead. Ryan Hart also not playing Melbourne Celebrates. Not yet anyway.
And rounding out the top 10, you'll see Chris Ronald sitting there nicely in ninth.
Hey, let's go.
Well, let's go.
Yeah, tied with Dylan Feldman. That's a good effort.
Fitting.
Yeah. yeah, that's our Vic Tour leaderboard at the moment. Next event will be Melbourne Celebrates in a few weeks, so we'll have to see how it shakes out after that.
Yes, we will.
Should we check in on Melton Social Day? It's been 40 minutes and we haven't even talked about anyone playing disc golf, which is... I wasn't there, but you were. What were we looking at?
Cold fucking weather. It was a frost. I haven't seen a frost in 20 years. but it was frosty in Melton. And to make matters worse, those that drove down from Ballarat was like, how the fuck is it colder in Melton than in Ballarat? And so that was pretty embarrassing. But like hole one, the all of the mulch under hole one was just white with ice.
No way. That's crazy.
Yeah. It was really, really cold. And there was no hand warmers in any supermarket. So that was a bit of an issue. But I got to play on a card with Penn, Nathan Parrish, and I was meant to play with Kalen. Kalen somehow thought that it was an 8:30 start, which has never happened. And so he proceeded to rock up at 8:45. So like, that's not even 8:30, you idiot. And then he like has the nerve to like send me and Alex Evans a message. Hey, any chance I can just like play out these holes and not score these early ones? And I was like, oi, dickhead, you reckon it's an 8:30 start? It's 8:45. You've missed seven holes. You're currently plus 28. The most I'm willing to offer you is plus 8. Like, you've missed two holes. You're late even if you think it's 8:30. You've missed two holes at best, mate. But we came to a good agreement in the end, and he was like, hang on, this round doesn't count. I'm going to play the 10:30. And I was like, yeah, that makes way more sense.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah, that sounds way more reasonable. And so I got to go toe-to-toe, four tags with Penn Lu, and smash him. But my statistics... atrocious, disgusting.
It's like 50% from C1.
I missed every putt. And the thing about all of those putts, they were all inside 6 meters.
Gross.
And one of them was inside 3 meters.
Crazy.
Yeah. So I had a solid round at neg 10, but it really should have been so much better. I had 16 putts inside 6 meters.
Fucking hell.
And I just missed a bunch of them.
Chris, that's crazy. Yeah. Could have been a special, special day.
Could have really been. But tag 6, I was tag 56. I'm now tag 6. Get around me. I've been putting out on socials who's top 5 tags. No pussies are letting me know. So as soon as I find out, I want to play for tags, but no one's let me know yet. And yeah, Peter Chu rocked up at 10:30 and smashed us. So well done, Peter Chu.
Yeah, neg 12 for Pete. Clean round, just like yours. And neg 9 for Kalen in third. Also clean round. So well done to you guys.
Yeah.
Kerry Edwards in Div B with a neg 10. Big, big round for him. 4 clear of Richard Lewis Schell. And Tim Stevenson there in third place with Paul Arden. And these names are all ringing like some sort of bell in my head. Do we have any throwers guarantee on this?
No, we're good.
We didn't know it. So let me just quick look at the run sheet. Oh, I think we did.
We did?
I think we had, you had Damian Moosey to beat Carey. And I said Carey's name at top, and I don't remember Damo in Div A. So let me just have a little suss. Carey, neg 10. Moosey plus 1.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
Was
that close?
It was much worse than I thought it was going to be. Like he can't be pulling a plus 1 in his backyard. That's not good, Moosey.
No.
I haven't looked, but I'm sure he is well near the bottom of the handicap board, and just a monster performance from Kerry. So we love that. So that's 0 points for you. That means if I get 3, then I am this round's champion. And I had Paul Arden to beat Chris Snapper Scott. Paul Arden got himself a neg 5 and Snapper an even. So whack. Let's go. 50 on the nose for Alan.
Wowee.
It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. I get how you felt last year now. This is nice.
Congratulations.
This is very, very nice. So, you and I both are undisputed most knowledgeable people in Melbourne disc golf, mostly because no one cares enough to dispute it, but it's undisputed. And I'm the number one in that. So that's nice. That's good to know. That's very good to know. When I say it, it happens. Guarantee
fair enough.
It.
Fitting result. Deserved winner. Played well all year. And I can only praise your expert knowledge.
Oh, thank you. It must be said, though, that Picanti went over the card as well. That's trash.
Oh, so bad. So bad. And bottom of absolute bottom of the handicap leaderboard as well for Picanti.
No good.
Come on, Picanti. He's another guy. He's, you know, this is what you got to worry about. There's not many people in disc golf that have goals. Picanti's another one. And And so I hope that's not a bad omen for you now that you've set
goals. Could be. I know, right? It could be so bad. Because probably people will look, I'll keep my stats too. So people will look at it and be like, oh, looks like you didn't get that putting goal there, did you, big dog? So I set myself up a failure here. Yeah, Div C, Ross Davies and Kim Michelle tied on plus three, and Simon McKay there in third. The No Metrics crew had Josh Green taking it out over Charlotte Davies, and Nate Parrish rolled up for the non-member division and put in a very handy neg nine. So well done there, Nate.
Correct.
And yeah, if we have a look at the overall handicap leaderboard, we had Tim Brooks take it out with Richard Lewis-Shell and Kerry Edwards all right there. Peter Chu should get a mention in fourth as well with his big neg 12. So good results there. And the bottom end was Bacanti, as you mentioned, dead last. Eamon Dawson, Alex Evans, Matt Farina, and Penn Liu all right down there as well. Yikes. Yeah. Some very familiar names having some not good performances and a lot of those cases in their backyard. So what are we doing?
Is Penn my bunny?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't even think that's in dispute.
Yeah.
Did you get him at, what's it called?
Vic Open.
Nah, I know you got him there, right?
Linda? No, Linda. I probably got him at Linda as well. No, I don't think I did get him at Linda.
He had a very good second round. So I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't think I got him at Olinda.
But no. I mean, 100% social days, he's your bunny. I don't think he ever beats you.
No, I don't think he has.
That's nice.
Like, it's fun because he's a much better disc golfer than me. So that just feels real good.
Just not when you're around.
It's not when I'm around. Yeah.
Maybe he's waiting. He's waiting until next year when you move out of MPO so he can move in it. He doesn't want to get on a car with you and just turn to shit.
Yeah.
It's all making sense.
What I'd like to see is I'd like to see Penn change his PDJ social picture from sandbags to bunny rabbits.
That's good. I like that. We'll see how this shakes out with the social day leaderboard because we're right at the top of that now. Some movement?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely some movement. So, we alluded to this. We already alluded to this, but Kalen and Penn both had shit rounds to lose, and Kalen did well and lost a really shit round. Yeah. And finds himself on top now, about 8 points clear of Penn.
Mm.
And with Penn only picking up the 85 at Melton, he's got work to do with Bald Hill and Ruffy left. It's ring-a-ding-ding. And our mate Peter Chu, he's just a quality achiever, isn't he? He's back. You know, we gave him a lot of grief at the start of this season. A lot of grief. Rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
And look at him here. Top right in the sitting in the podium threshold.
His second win in 4 weeks. And one of the very, very few people, maybe only two, that have two wins this year. So, big. Kalen's big problem is that Penn has now this trash round that he can get rid of that 85. And Kalen's next is 91 though. So how much clear is he?
About eight.
So he's all right. Yeah. Oh, this could be very interesting. So Penn's coming to Bald Hill, and I don't think Kalen's signed up. So we shall see.
We will.
What happened to me? I'm in seventh. All right. We said I could make a podium push, and then I didn't play, and I might not play this weekend either, and we'll see how it goes from there. So I don't know how much of a push I can do, but we'll see, especially if I'm changing my form.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, Brett Zeeble in fifth, Timmy Ware in fourth, and Juan Reyder in sixth. So yeah, two more events. We'll see how we go.
We will. We will. That's a good good segue, I feel. Are we going to segue into Melbourne's top 10?
Yes. Yes, for sure. So I think Kalen might have sent this to you, right? That he is now in the top 10 of Metrics disc golfers in the Melbourne Disc Golf Club.
He put it up on his socials. He didn't just send it in. He let the world know. All 13 of his followers got to see that he thinks he is top 10 Melbourne disc golfer.
And so we thought we'd have a look into that and maybe play a little game called Overrated, Underrated.
So yes, please.
We've got the Melbourne's number one disc golfer is Marcus Volotta, a 987. What's up?
Who's that guy? I have not seen that guy in months.
I know, right? He signed up for Melbourne Celebrates. So
I saw, yeah.
987 metrics rating, very well clear of Ryan Deer in second place, who's 970. So, we'll do a little bit of this. What about the Marcus as Melbourne's number one player and a 987 rated metrics golfer? Is he overrated or underrated?
Look, without obviously Peaches Perry in there, I have to say that's fair. He's Melbourne's best disc golfer minus Peaches Perry when he shows up. It's no surprise to me that his quick rating is even higher than that. So I'm just going to say that's about on. He's a 990 metrics golfer.
There you go. And yeah, the quick rating is just some sort of thing that uses less rounds, right? Your more recent rounds. So you can tell how you've sort of going, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, correct.
We went to the whole top 10, but we'll look at Deiros in second. 970 metrics rating. What do you think about
underrated.
That one? I would have thought so rating. Too.
Yep, under.
I think maybe because he plays a lot of events and sometimes like metrics is trash because it doesn't factor in weather and stuff. That's the only thing I can really think that maybe he's just played some, sub-scoring rounds. Plus, he's working on his form before the Vic Open, so that probably would have had to hurt. What about in seventh, Melbourne's seventh best disc golfer, if you count Sven Nutman in sixth, who I don't remember the last time he played, but if you count him in sixth, then you're in seventh, Chris Ronalds, 948 rated. Overrated or underrated?
Overrated.
Overrated.
Overrated. I mean, I'm better than Sven, but still I feel overrated.
And one place ahead of Penn Lu. Just quietly.
Yeah, well, that's correct. I'm like, I'm overrated fractionally. I'm still just better than Penn.
And the man who sparked this all, Kalen, in 10th place, Melbourne's 10th best disc golfer, at 937.
Grossly overrated. The next three disc golfers under him, much better disc golfers than him. Oscar, Mikey, and Leo should absolutely be top 10 before Kalen finds himself top 10.
Kalen is going to crash his car when you just said Mikey Hare's better disc golfer than him. Kalen's quick rating is 958, which would put him right at the tippy top of that.
Yeah, it would.
But, he finds himself at 10th. And, Leo Dykes, 12th best in Melbourne, 933 metrics rating. And a 933 quick rating. What do we think about that?
I don't know. That guy doesn't know how to play social days, is what I think.
I don't get it. Like, how is this possible?
Yeah.
That's so underrated. But,
so underrated.
But he's like, I don't get it. What is he doing? This was like remember when Mikey was like 850 rated, like at the start of the year? And we're like, what?
Yeah.
What? Like, what are you doing to Div B, Mikey?
Yeah, exactly.
It's so weird. So, I don't really understand that one. If we scroll down to 18th place, you find Alan Brunsting, 921 rated.
That's underrated.
Oh, okay. I'll take that. Mm-hmm. 935 quick rating. So, that might back you up. I do like that.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Who else?
But not as underrated as Tim Ware.
Oh, shit. Timmy Ware in 19th place, 921 rating. You think so? We have the same rating, him, myself, and Peter Chu, all at 921. And you got Timmy is underrated?
Oh, yeah. And look at that quick rating there, 946. He's got your measure. We know he's got your measure at the moment.
Yeah, all right. smashed him at Olinda. That's all I know. It was the last time we played, I killed him.
My
memory is not so great, so I remember what happened. So, you know, what have you done for me lately? what other names we've got here? Succulent Chinese meal at $8.94 rated. How do we like that?
That's tumultuous. We're going to say underrated.
Underrated. There we go.
Yeah.
Alistair Don, 886.
Underrated.
Underrated. Yeah, he surprises me. That doesn't make much sense. I feel like every time I see him play, it's great.
Yeah, exactly. He feels like a 19 guy to me.
Yeah. No, for sure. Chu Tran, 870 rated.
Underrated.
Underrated. All day, every day.
Yeah.
I think for that one. Where I should have written this down. I had some overrateds in there.
Good. give me one.
Matt Farina, Matty Faz, 854 rated. How do we like that?
You could have said 754, and I would have said overrated.
Metrics will agree. 830 quick rating. So,
ouch! Ouch!
Not looking good for Matty there. Max Tats, right in that realm as well, 856 rated. How do you like that for him?
He's another tumultuous player, that one. Let's go 856. Let's go under. I got high expectations of Tats.
Quick rating a little bit lower than that. So a little overrated at the moment, Maxie boy. He's just always forefront of your mind.
I know.
What else we got here? Aaron Picanti, 882 rated.
Overrated.
Way overs.
What's his quick at the moment?
He's like 868. I think that's a little high. I don't know what he's doing at the moment, but he's got more in the tank than that. And finally, Sam Stoyer, 893 rated.
Ooh, under.
Unders for sure, I would have thought, but the quick rating only 898, so a little above, but I don't understand how Sam's an under 900 rated metrics disc golfer, so very odd for mine, but we might have to see if there's some other underrated people want to have a look at, then send them in and we'll let you know what we think.
Please do.
All right, are we restarting the Throwers Guarantee?
Yeah, how would you like to play it?
What do you mean?
Shoot for 50 again?
Yeah. I think that's a good number. Works out all right. What time we started that? Start of the year, and it's June, so this will get us perfect. Close to the end of the year. We'll go from there.
Perfect. Yeah. I love that.
Well, there's not much on. Oh, well, there's what's it called? Tintinara this weekend. There's Tintinara this weekend, but yeah, Bald Hill is what's on. Why did I click that one? I could have just clicked this. So I'll have a little bit of a look at that. Weather not looking ideal, I don't think. Bit of rain in the Arvo, but maybe in the morning looking good. So I might have to back in the morning people. And I think for this series, I'm with you. When we start having a mess around with Div B and especially Div C, I think I'm with you. I don't think there are 5-5s. I think they're like 6-6s and maybe 6-5s or something like that. I think we should be a bit generous when we start playing in the more volatile divisions, shall we say.
Well, given that, we went 6-4 for Carey and then he got it done by a million strokes. I think that's a good example of that.
Yeah, that was off. But I thought Moosey, surely Moosey's not normally in the pluses. I thought he was normally like a 3 or 4 guy under. And
who
then,
knows? Who knows?
Carey might be like a 5 or 6, but that's how it was in my head.
What's the point of miscounting if you can't miscount to a lower score?
Exactly. All right, what do we got? In the spirit of that, I might have a little filter around Div B and see what we're doing. Oh, yeah. So I was like, should I get Bugatti involved? But,
run that. Go for it.
We had a Bugatti versus Schloffel battle at, what's the name? What did we just play? Hopkins Heiser. One and two. So what about Bald Hill? You got Bugatti versus Zach at Bald Hill, straight up. Who you got winning?
I've got. Oh wow! How does Bugatti go in with that? Yeah, that's a tricky one. I've got your 6-6 there.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I do, because I've got that at 6-6. Bugatti.
Quick rating, well under. Yeah. Zach's is probably above, so they're probably a lot closer.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
I'll go Zach. It's his hometown. I'll go Zach. I'll take Zach for six. Zach over Bugatti. And then will probably do it just to spite me.
All right. There you go. All right. In the same vein, just give me a quick score there for Musi versus Brett Bobridge.
Ooh. I like that. Both at Bald Hill. So both out of their comfort zone. I'll give you a 6-6 for sure.
And they just tied at Melton too. Oh, did those they? Two are inseparable, yeah. All right, can I have a Trollers that they tie?
Shit.
That's pretty
big,
elite.
That's a big early. There's no way they both tie again, surely, right?
Exactly. No way, surely.
All right, I'll give you that.
All right, Trollers that they tie.
I'm on the same then with Bugatti and Zach.
Yeah, done.
Yeah. Trollers,
yeah, yeah, that's good. Trollers, they tie six, and you've picked your winner. All right, that's good. Can I have Doug Adams v Dan Frawley? Fucking hell, ooh, there is a lot of.
That's good. I'd like that matchup. That's cool.
Yeah,
because they're very different players. Dan can throw a mile, but Doug will pick apart that course. Ooh, I like. How do I want to see that one play out? What, Doug is at 900 and they're about the same. Well, I think that's a toss up. I'll go 5-5 because they're in div 8. That's less volatile.
All right. I'm going to go Master. I'm just quickly checking. You wouldn't read about this. Guess what happened? They both last played Bald Hill.
They tied. There you go. Well, who's going to play it better this time?
Who's going to play it better this time is when? Where, Jesus, where are we at here? It's going to be Dan Frawley.
Yep, big. All right. Mistake. Yeah. That's fine. My man, Doug. I think the last time that was probably when I put the kibosh on him. So he's going to be fine this time. But that's right. Good. I like it. You've got Doug over Dan for 5, and I have Zach over Bugatti for 6. So we are away.
We are.
How about we finish with a little spotlight, not light?
Yep.
Have you got anything? Or do you want me to go?
Yep. Yeah, I've got not light. I've not lighted this before. I've probably not lighted this 5 times before. I'm lost count, but I'm going to keep not lighting it until the problem is rectified. The tag scene. Mm. I want people to care about tags. I put real work in at Melton on the weekend, hyping everyone up about tags. I tried on the social. I've tried what I've got, but like top 5, where are you at? And if you don't care, that's fine. Give me a tag.
Yeah.
Show me you don't care. Give me a tag. Because I care and I want to play for top 5 tags. The tag scene in Melbourne is my not light.
I like it. No, that's a good not light. Yep. I'll go with my not light as well then. And it's got to go to myself. Couple reasons this one. Our good friend Jono from South Australia is like, hey, man. When do you need me to pay for these shirts? And I'm like, did you want one? And he's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, remember when Darren and Gareth asked for it? I also did. And I was like, I don't think so. It's like quick scroll and had a search. Yeah, 100%. And I just forgot about that. So when I inquired back in with Daz and Gareth, I never with Jono. So I'm going to have to sweet talk Gareth, because Gareth just ordered two of the same shirt, and what it happens to be one of the ones that Jono wants. So they can just share a number, I think. I'll give one to them, and we'll have to get them other ones on a new order.
I so, love that.
Not right there for me for that, yep. As a special mention. But my actual not light goes to me as well, because of my contemplation of potentially playing Bald Hill this weekend, as I am meant to be in Tintinara.
Yes.
But I'm not going to do that anymore.
Oh, no.
Had it all G'd up, yeah, ready to go, excited, organized sort of a lift up with Parrish. We're going to drive back with Finnegan. And, you know, Jono was getting there on Friday, was going to get a nice spot for me, looking all good. And Jono was like, have you seen the weather? And I had a look at the weather, and I was honestly trying to find a reason to get out of it anyway, but the weather was looking absolutely horrible. I had a, I go see the myotherapist normally once a month, and he keeps my body not horrendous. And it's been a couple months because I forgot to book, and he books out way in advance. And my appointment's this weekend, so I don't have another one booked for another month. And I was like, I didn't cancel it because I was like, I'm not doing it in case, just in case I don't end up going to Tintinara. And this was just the excuse I needed to pull out because my body's fucked. So I'm very excited. But if you pull out of a tournament late because of weather, you're a bitch. So that's that's me. I'm not going to Tinty. So I get the honourable mention and the not light. Big week for me.
Big week for you. Tintinara, the highest rated disc golfer there is playing MA1.
Oh, wait, who's that?
Tim Davis.
Oh, is Tim Davis higher rated than Parrish?
Yeah.
Shit, there you go. Yeah.
You've got Henry Arnold kicking an MA1 as well. I know.
I was honestly looking forward to it. I was looking forward to playing against Timmy D, Jono, and then, Henry as well. I haven't played against Henry in a minute. So I was looking forward to that. But, I'm a bitch. So,
as Jono pulled out as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, we suck.
All right.
It's a lot of driving to go camp in the rain, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got any spotlights?
You mentioned earlier, but it has to be Park Media, but I think specifically it probably needs to be Ash Widener. I think he's picked up a bit of the editing.
Sick.
Reigns, and he's just pumping videos out. So if I'm wrong there with the Ash Widener piece, I stick by my guns with Park Media, but I think Ash might deserve a fair bit of that credit at the moment. So well done, Park Media.
Sick. Love that. Good to see. Very well. Very well for sure. My spotlight, honourable mention has to go to me for being the Dollars Guaranteed Champion. I just think that's important to highlight once again.
If you take this where I think you're taking this, I look forward to seeing how you do it.
Oh, we're not on the same page. I don't know what we're doing. How can I give myself another G up?
And my actual spotlight has to go to Alan Rustin.
No, I got nothing. I've done nothing else good. I wish. But no, my actual spotlight is going to go to Zach Schloffel. For taking out the Tuesday doubles on his own.
Oi.
Single effort. And he takes it out against a large field and takes the $10 prize home himself. So, good job.
Sick. Nice work.
I might have gone over your head that one, but I think Zach will know and maybe a couple others. But well done, Zach.
I did, like, was he the only one there?
Correct.
Oh, no, Zach.
It was Tuesday when it was pissing rain. Aiden's in Europe and Chris Scott just wasn't coming, so the whole thing fell apart. But but he showed up and he brought his $10 to play and he won. So good on him.
Yeah, there you go. That counts.
It counts. You got a win. it must be noted, though, that as Alex mentioned, Aiden still somehow gets half of that. beautiful. All right. Well, that's it. Yeah, we'll be back next week. But for now, thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.